This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Now, the Texas Rangers released their schedule. I guess all of Major League Baseball did, but what I'm most concerned about is the Texas Rangers schedule, and I got this question for you gentlemen and the question for all of the Tolos out there. Whenever the baseball schedule comes out, I was always fascinated to see if they would play a game on my birthday and if it would be a home game so I could potentially attend. Did you guys ever do that? Did your birthday, Corey, I know that yours did your birthday fit in the window, and is that something that the Tolos did?
Yeah, actually, I went to a number of games on my birthday as a kid at the old, not the last stadium.
The Blue Stadium.
Me and my grandpa would go sit out.
Arlington Stadium?
Yes.
In the metal bleachers. He would have his little cooler, and it would have about 6 Sprites in it. With ice that tasted a little like dirt. I don't know why. I never understood that. But we would have about 6 Sprites, and we'd sit out there and watch baseball together. I love watching it with my grandpa out there. So yeah. And then I went to a couple games later on my birthday. But as we got into this business, it kind of became less of a feature. So
is it just because like it wasn't as magical for you because you got older, because you got in the business? What happened to your
love?
We
were working nights, Kevin.
We had to
work nights, and I couldn't take off on my birthday.
My birthday's November 11th, so the Rangers never played on that day. But I did have, when I turned 10 years old, I had a birthday where Derek Harper hit a 3-pointer with like 5 seconds to go. I had all my basketball team over for a spin the night, and they were playing the Utah Jazz. And it was early in the season in 1988, and Derek Harper hit a game-winning 3-pointer with like 5 seconds to go for my birthday party.
Hey,
thanks,
Mike.
Derek.
Mike, what's a spin the night?
You know, where you had your 7 other basketball friends spin the night.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Is that not a? That's a. Is that? Is a sleepover?
Never heard that term in my life, Corey.
Or
what do you call
party,
it?
I
always called them a spend the night.
You call it a spend the night? I've never heard that before.
Absolutely.
I know, I would say, are you serious? I know what you would
you
say.
You are not.
Do you want somebody to spend
the night?
Try to
support my teammate here, fellas.
Yeah, spend the night.
Okay.
I'm serious, Vasek. I'm not like, I mean, I'm kind of doing a bit, but is that what you called it as a child?
Yeah.
You never
yeah.
said sleepover? You said yeah. we're going to do a spend the night?
Yeah, I want to spend the night.
All right.
A slumber party.
This might be a mouthwash thing going on right now. Did you ever have a spend the night when you were a kid? Or did you call this sleepover like a normal child?
Sorry. That's what I called it. And I couldn't spend the night. They could spend the night at my house, and I could spend the night at my grandparents' house. But until 7th grade was the first time I was really able to spend the night at somebody else's house without sleeping with their parents. Because I would get scared, and I would want to go home, and I would cry, and I would have to spend the night in the parents' bed with them or in the parents' room with them if my parents then were, like, gone. You know, they were out of town, and I didn't spend the night with my grandparents.
I don't know what I'm supposed to do with all of that, Mike. That's a lot of information.
What a way to start.
But seventh grade, I spent the night at John Barber's house and was able to sleep in his room for the whole night. His dog did pee on his bed that night, which kind of really messed things up. But I was able to do it for the first time ever in seventh grade. I was able to spend the night at a friend's house without freaking out and wanting to go home.
So great.
Or go to their parents' room.
You're a treasure, Mike. You were an absolute treasure.
My damn Lord, from the 469. Wow. From the 972. Damn, Mike.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. From the 214, spend the night? What the? No, I had sleepovers. From the 254, I called it spend the night as well. From the 972, never called it a sleepover as a kid. Oh, man. This is from the 817. This is as groundbreaking as that one time that I found out sometimes people stand up when they wipe. What is happening?
Yeah, that's still insanity to me.
Right. I did that for a while, too, but I figured that out later in life.
That being said, Kevin, are they playing on your birthday, and are you going
okay.
to that game this year?
Thank you, Corey, for being the one adult in the room that can pull focus back in on here. Thank you very much.
Start to the show.
We're getting an insane amount of feedback. feedback, and I don't even know what to do with any of this. This is not how I anticipated this show starting. They are playing on my birthday, Corey. However, they are not playing the home game. And so you remember.
Are you going to go on a road game?
I mean, it doesn't. Does it seem like maybe like not the best time to do that, right?
I don't know, man. Maybe. It's September, dude. We never know what's going to happen
that,
in 2 months.
I mean, that's probably true. You like one of the biggest opportunities that like I was really sad about because it kind of like made me know how the company felt about me at the time is they were this is when we were on the night show and I was like, hey. There's a game. It's on my birthday. And maybe we could do like a fan hang and we could get it together. And everybody was like, yeah, we'll check into that. And then like nobody said anything to me. And then I like checked in again. And then finally somebody's like, oh, did you want tickets to the game? And I was like, no, we could like broadcast out there and it'd be a big thing. And nobody gave a crap at all, Corey. And
I would have been there, man.
I know you
that.
Would.
Well, and, it would be fun if your birthday was on a road game and then you could have a spend the night in a different city.
Ooh, true.
Nobody, I am amazingly, I'm not even making fun of you. I thought I was going to until a whole bunch of people just texted in and they're like, oh my God, I totally called it to spend the night. And there's a shocking amount of feedback coming in. But then there's also things like, what the hell, Mike? And then from the 432, I didn't know that there was a gender divide on this. Sleepovers are for girls. Boys spend the night. I thought the slumber party is what it was called for females, and boys did the sleepover.
I mean, but I hear the sleepover all the time, but I guess as a kid, we called it, at least I did, I called it a spend the night.
Well, the Rangers are on the road September 21st against the Angels. Reggie, I don't recall your birthday offhand. I'm sorry.
My birthday's in April, so it would be like the start of the baseball season.
Oh, so we already missed it.
Yeah, no problem. But yeah, no, that was never something I did because like baseball, going to the baseball game wasn't like a birthday treat for me. It was more of just like it was an experience, absolutely, but it wasn't the same thing as maybe like going to a basketball game was for
or
me.
Or an EPL game, I guess.
Yeah.
Let's see what you're saying.
Yeah, you know, I love to spend a night in England on my birthday.
So that was going to be my next EPL question. Game. If you had friends over, would they sleep over? Would it be a spend the night? What was happening here?
Oh, it was definitely a sleepover.
Okay, I just really wanted to get that.
I still think your spend the night is valid, Mike. I'm with you.
Thanks.
All right.
Did your dads ever come out of their room and say, shut up and go to sleep?
Yes.
My dad wasn't really around when I was a kid, Mike, thanks.
Oh, wow, Kevin.
Dang. What an opening segment.
So let's go from that to...
Well, then your dad didn't come out of the room and say, shut up and go to
sleep.
That's
a good point.
I guess if I wasn't being a jerk about it, I could have been like, not really. Sorry about that, Mike. I feel like I've been really unfair to you in this opening segment. I will work on my attitude. When we had Luchi Gonzalez on the show on Thursday, he talked about how their opening match against Vancouver could get delayed, and then finally I just straight up asked him. I was like, Coach, are you going to be in this tournament? And he said, look, right now we can feel the side, but I can't tell you for sure that we're going to stay in this tournament. And here we are. News came out yesterday evening that FC Dallas is out of the MLS's back tournament amid coronavirus cases. Now,
is it because of cases to them or because there are too many cases within the tournament?
No, that was with them. They had too many cases on the team itself.
Dang.
So it made it. So I imagine that the numbers then were looking to be too bad.
So
and then you wouldn't
players
really be
weren't
able to
gonna be able to compete. And I gotcha.
So do you want to hear something frightening about just that? They tested 557 players. 13 total MLS players have coronavirus. 10 of them are from FC Dallas.
Jeez.
So 10 of the 13 are from them.
And you know, that's if you kind of look at numbers, right? Texas is one of the states that's rising, right? Or experiencing a surge here. So that's kind of the way it is. I wonder what FC Dallas was doing differently than the other teams.
It just seems like they had the point of exposure. Because remember, they were all tested negative while they were here. It was when they got to the bubble that they were exposed to this. So I think that's the interesting point. And to Kevin's point,
it at the airport on the way there? Was it,
Because he said he was frustrated about it. He was like, I thought we did everything right. And they got tested ahead of time and they were fine. So I don't know.
Gotcha.
And also, Nashville SC, new team to the MLS, they now have a report that there's 5 Nashville SC players that tested positive for COVID-19. So it does seem like this is starting to spread in that bubble.
Is that the protocol for the NBA and Major League Baseball too? What was the protocol for the NBA is if one player gets it, they are taken out of the bubble. They are right, like they are sequestered from everything. And then we just kind of monitor every other player. But then we've talked about that with, 3, 4, 5, 6 different cases. Now you don't have a team to field to play. So are we about to see that in the NBA?
I don't think you can rule it out, right? I want to say no, but
it's quite literally the same place.
Yeah. Great.
Well, right, it's the wide world of sports complex. That is where MLS is happening, and that is also where the NBA bubble is supposed to take place.
From the 214, sounds like FC Dallas was doing those spend the nights. Come on. That's a fair point. All right.
I think this is the tough thing. Like, when we were doing crosstalk yesterday with G-Bag Nation and Kevin, I was like, look, it's really easy not to get this. And I'm like, I don't think so. Not when you get – when you start playing the sport – you could be doing everything right. Let's just say out of the FC Dallas players, 8 of those guys that have the virus now could have been doing everything right, everything possible. But I'm not saying this happened. 2 of the guys on FC Dallas went out in Orlando and had dinner. Let's just say they had dinner instead of going and partying or whatever. But they went out and had dinner and they weren't supposed to. And they got exposed in a restaurant. And then they came back to the hotel bubble where all the FC Dallas players were. And then 8 of the guys ended up getting it that were doing everything right. But 2 guys, I'm just throwing that out. I know that didn't happen, or maybe it did happen. But that's where, there's nothing you can do as a baseball player, basketball player now, eventually here coming up as a football player. Once you get into your team facility and you're with your teammates, you can do everything you can do, but you can't make your teammates follow all the rules.
I agree.
That's why you heard Chris Bryant, Kevin, yesterday saying that's why it's going to be so important for all of us to be in on this, right? Like, that's why we, not just the process of the players making sure that when they get here, or the teams making sure that we get tested, but we got to do our part too, because we're going to be traveling and doing all these things together. That's why Chris Bryant said that. I don't know if the rest of the league agrees with him. Some players might just be like, you know what, I didn't really want to play anyway, and if I get it, then I can just be like, all right, I'll see y'all later. So I'm just going to do my thing.
Well, I thought it the other way, Corey. I think that MLB owners don't want to play this season and are like, screw it. Who cares about the precautions? Call us out. We don't want to play anyways.
Because if you're not going to do it, then we're fine with it, right?
Yeah, the Cubs owner didn't want to play. Remember, the Cubs owner, who's worth $4.5 billion, is like, I don't have any money. And I expect sellouts every game at Wrigley Field. And he pretty much put out there he doesn't want to play this season. And so if the Cubs aren't doing the right protocols, I think it's the owner going, I'm trying to screw this thing over so we don't play.
Man, that would be sorry. That would just be so sorry. Not only from the perspective of a fan looking at your team and how much money you spend on it and how much time you spend devoted to talking and thinking about what my Cubs are going to do today, but just sorry as a human to say, you know what, let's screw this whole thing over so some of these guys end up being more susceptible than they should be. God, how sorry would that be for a billionaire to act that way?
And the tough part about this is that we're talking about some level of crack in the system where somebody does something wrong. The scariest thought about all this is that everybody did everything according to protocol, and then somehow coronavirus still infiltrated the bubble. Because that is the part that could be the scariest and could honestly really ruin the whole thing. Because if you followed all the protocol and it still got in, then you can't do it. It's untenable.
So one more thing I wanted to throw out there is, did you see that the NHL has gotten their stuff together? We talked about last week the hub cities up in Canada. Eastern Conference will play in Toronto. Western Conference will play in Edmonton. Conference Finals and Stanley Cup Final will be in Edmonton because that's the only way Canada can get a taste of the Stanley Cup. And then the NHL is aiming to restart by August 1st. What do you think about the job the NHL has done? Because it feels like they have just been forgotten in this whole thing.
It's very silent for me, Kevin. I just haven't, every time I'm like, oh, it sounded like they were going to be the first ones to go, right? It felt like they were going to be the first ones to get this thing off and running because they seemed to have had a plan. But since they announced that, and maybe it was just to keep, you know, their name in the public eye at the time, since then it's been relatively quiet about what their actual plans are and how they're going to get it done. Now, they've slowly been trying to trickle down to the bubble cities, and I don't know that I was disappointed that Dallas got nixed out of that. I actually was kind of okay with it. Because of, you know, honestly, looking at the numbers, I was like, well, we're going to expose a lot more people if they come into here, but you know, that being said, I felt it's been real quiet with the NHL, and I'm not quite sure what their framework is. I did see this, Kevin, real quick. I wanted to throw in here. Do you know who J.C. Treader is? He's the center for the Browns.
I was going to say it's A.C. Slater's cousin.
No. He tweeted this out. The NFL's unwillingness to follow the recommendations of its own experts will put this season and safety of all players at risk. This year must look differently if we hope to play a full season and crown a Super Bowl champion. Randall Cobb quote tweeted it and said, I wasn't very optimistic after the last call. Let's hope we have more answers and clarity today.
Wow. So,
football.